Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we return to the fighting genre. I guess I was more affected by watching Bloodsport and Mortal Kombat this year than I expected. But we return to watch Jean-Claude Van Damme in Street Fighter with Raul Julia, R.I.P. And yes, they do say R.I.P. to him at the beginning of the credits. In the meantime, thank you for subscribing, listening, watching, whatever. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/myopia for extra content. And if you like hearing me do riffs on movies, join the Cineprov Patreon, patreon.com/cineprov. Thanks, guys. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't followed us on Facebook, do. We have a good active community on Facebook in our group. But also, please consider rating and reviewing us. It helps us out greatly. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies this week.
I don't know where that came from.
We watched 1994 Street Fighter, mainly because we already did Mortal Kombat Annihilation and we had to cleanse our mind with a somehow worse movie. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia and riffer on Cinema Problem. How we have?
Hello, this is Daniel, a frequent contributor to Popdose, and I totally unlocked Sheng Long back in the day.
Nortrenet, I like coming here because, you know, food.
And Lauren, and my Street Fighter name is Shorty McKickass.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, I would totally play as Shorty McKickass.
Okay.
By the by, this movie is crammed full of characters that you could tell me Shorty McKickass was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just show up. Dalsim, the Indian guy who stretches, just a doctor. Just an evil medical doctor.
Wait, he was in this movie?
He's Dr. Dalsim. He's the one who's running the experiments on Blanca.
Oh, I did not put two and two together
on
that.
You're totally fine. So while we're here, we're doing a weird Jean-Claude Van Damme comic movie, and all of us have weird stories about this movie, but we kind of need to get into it. I will start, though. So the game Mortal Kombat was originally supposed to be based on the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Bloodsport. Because what is Bloodsport other than a fight-to-the-death competition? And then they said they couldn't get the rights, and they turned down Jean-Claude Van Damme because they wanted to use his likeness in the game, and he said no. Fine. Then they made a movie, and they asked him if he wanted to be Johnny Cage, and he said no. But he said yes to this, and I cannot for the life of me figure out why Jean-Claude Van Damme is in this. He's playing an American. Hello, I'm Jean-Claude Van Damme, an American, and bye-bye.
I have an American flag on my shoulder.
There are actual Frenchmen and Germans and Belgians in this. He could have been a Belgian, but Guile is an American, so he is going to play an American.
He just has the same accent in every movie. It doesn't matter, man. It's like the Gerard Butler thing, you know? It doesn't matter if he's an American, he's going to have that same accent.
Yeah, in Olympus Has Fallen, I am American, Mike. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger playing a guy named Tim Jones or something. Yeah. I am your sheriff in your local town.
He's not just an American. He's somehow the commanding officer of the Allied Nations Forces, which they never explain what that is. And he's only a colonel, so.
Well, I was researching this movie, you know, like how I do.
Yeah.
So to answer your question a little bit, I think why they got John for this is money, my friend. Money.
Exactly.
Salary. He had a big payday. Mm-hmm. Him and Raul Julia, between them, got $8 million.
Well, Raul Julia.
Holy shit.
Between them.
That's 1994 money,
right,
too. So that's
like $4 million and $4
million. Well, Raul Julia was dying as he was filming this.
Well, and previous episode, he was in Adam's Family. Did we do Adam's Family Values yet?
I don't think we have.
Stay tuned. Because Chris Lloyd gets totally laid in that one.
Well, cool. True story. In this movie, I thought Christopher Lloyd was Robert Jr. because it's the eyes. It's the eyes for me. They have that same eyes.
Well, that's why they're cast as brothers in the Addams Family movies.
You
right?
know what? I just don't realize that.
Come on, Trinette. You're in this.
No,
they have a similar look, for sure. Yeah, when you realize, when you said that, I realized. But that it was Raul Julia's last movie.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
So it's just crazy. After his bout with stomach cancer.
You know why his eyes looked like that? And this is going to be a deep poll. Is because every time he was on set after 1985 or so, he was constantly thinking of William Hurt.
Wow. That is a deep poll. I will say, IMDb trivia, who knows if this is true or not. I'm not going to rewatch this. I'm not going to rewatch this anytime soon. But he doesn't blink the entire time he's on screen.
He's like an angel.
You know what? That's a good place to stop as any. Lauren, you want to give us our plot synopsis?
I'll let Daniel. Daniel rock
it. No, nurse should do it. You should do it.
All right, I can do it. A character played by Raul Julia named M. Bison has taken over the planet. And he's attempting to, well, literally conquer the world. This is an evil, like, Dr. Claw-esque plan. He's kidnapped some 70 people, and now the our version of the UN, the AFN, or whatever, the yeah. America's Funniest Home Videos, is coming in to try to stop him.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Saget is both the host of America's Funniest Home Videos and a character in Street Fighter, so that would make sense.
Right. We are introduced along the way to every one of the main characters from Street Fighter 2. In fact, they thank Street Fighter 2 at the beginning, which God help us, when it says Capcom jokes. There are Capcom jokes throughout. E. Honda doesn't punch a car, though, so none of this matters.
He does get slapped a lot with a stick.
He does the slapping
stick. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And at one point, Chun-Li is put in a barrel that says Capcom, so that counts for something as well.
Well, while you go on the E-Honda, as those of you don't know while recording this podcast, he when he is getting tortured with a bamboo stick, he does do this line where, I think, who was the one that asked him, why doesn't that hurt?
Balrog.
He was like, why does that hurt? He's like, man, they're hitting me and I'm just thinking of something else. Now, currently, I'm fasting for Ramadan, and people ask me, like, why aren't you like hungry and all that? And I take after E. Honda, saying that my mind's just somewhere else. And
to be completely accurate, what's actually going on, excuse me, is that M. Bison has taken over a country called Shadaloo. Yes.
And he's holding these people hostage for $20 billion.
That's right. Money.
He's a proto-Dr. Evil. Especially is what 94. He is.
Yeah. Inflation.
Which is about a third of what Jean-Claude Van Damme was paid to appear in this movie, as Lauren mentioned earlier.
Oh, boy.
But we're introduced to our main characters, Ken and Ryu, who are attempting to sell West Studi some bad guns, which are really Nerf guns, which we'll get there. Chun-Li, who's a
newscaster.
Yeah. And Balrog is her line producer, and E. Honda is her cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
And Cammy is in this movie as one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's lieutenants, and it's Kylie Minogue.
Yes.
Now, is this anywhat video game accurate to the story?
Of course not.
There's no story. Like, see, Mortal Kombat is a game that overthinks itself, if you've heard the episode, as our buddy Chris really cut into.
He does a really good job.
Best I know, Street Fighter, maybe M. Bison is trying to take over the planet, but that's kind of it. Like, we get into, like, the economic situation with Bison Bucks. And,
that's a great scene, the Bison Bucks.
I mean, fans were actually really upset with this movie. Fans of Street Fighter.
Really?
Of
course
they were. Yeah, because they were saying that it wasn't representative of the game, or like they were excited to see it. Well, this movie still made $99 million. Not too shabby, especially for 1994.
Here's the problem, though. It's a Street Fighter movie, but there's barely any fighting. I mean, there's a couple like kung fu scenes, and there's like an end battle with M. Bison. Spoiler alert, the bad guy dies.
Yeah.
But I mean, if any movie needed to rip off Enter the Dragon, it's this movie.
Well, he died about a month after production ended.
You know what, the fact that he had stomach cancer while filming this reminded me of that old South Park episode with Russell Crowe. Well, we couldn't find cancer, but here's a man with cancer. Where's that pussy cancer?
So they had to delay Raul Julia's scenes because of the cancer. So that's why, so that's why they had to do the fighting scenes earlier. So that's why it's kind of messed up, because they didn't have as many months to train or to prepare. Like, it was going to be backwards. So that's one of the reasons why.
Raul Julia didn't need to train for this movie at all. He just needed to show up and be as hammy as possible, which, you know what?
But I'm saying the other fighters. That's why they didn't have as many months to train.
As far as action movies go, I'm just looking down the list of just, like, you know, what came out in 1994. I mean, like, there was Ace Ventura as The Mask. The Crow would have been the only action movie. So it can make sense that people just want to have, like, nonsense video game type deal. Also, Pulp Fiction came out. So
I was about to say.
Yeah. There wasn't much to go out. Oh, also, It's Pat, the SNL parody. That was a movie, so I think...
Oh, that's a movie that should not have...
No. It should be. You know, Quentin Tarantino co-wrote that movie.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm completely serious.
Oh my god.
Because he was friends with whoever played Pat.
No,
I mean, she shows up in Pulp Fiction too. She's like the
she's one of the person that they're doing drugs with.
No, she's at the auto wreck place where they're disposing the car.
Oh, right. That's right. First of all, Quentin Tarantino does not need to co-write anything.
How you feel about him doing Star Trek?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What could have been?
What could have been? What could have been is Spock saying the N-word, is what could have been.
Really?
God.
Spock would have been black then.
Oh, I'm like one of your space people. Okay, McCoy. We need to back up here.
Motherfucker, Kirk.
Okay.
That would be the
I just want to say that the writer of this is the diehard writer.
Yes.
Steven D'Souza. He's the writer of this. And I just wanted to mention that because at the very first scene that we're talking about, like, he wanted to make this movie apparently a cross between James Bond and a Star Wars trying, apparently. That was his goal. But, and he wanted to avoid the mistakes of Mario Brothers that just happened. Right?
He failed.
Right. So that just happened with Mario Brothers. So, but I felt when I read that, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Because even the beginning of the scenes, it felt like a James Bond movie to me a little bit. Like they're trying to introduce the villain, like the smooth hero
And then we introduce our hero with him threatening the villain on television.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm going to kick your ass. And you're just like,
oh, I don't talk to reporters, but I have a message for Bison.
And he's like, it's a WWE, like, the Hulkster coming in, like, oh, right there, Andre the Giant, I'm gonna take you down! Like, what the fuck are we doing?
That was clearly Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, you can go fuck your right off.
Hello there, brother. Yeah.
No, I think it was trying to be a James Bond movie, especially at the beginning with all those scenes and the introducing the villain and him insulting him and all that, but like it just was not working.
You know what's a better James Bond movie that's based around a fighting tournament? Enter the Dragon! Rip that off, please!
Yeah. No, I can see your point. Like, as far as just... That's why Batman 1989. That was a great movie, and, you know, most good movies, especially superhero comic book movies, if you center around the villain and then work your way around that, that's, you know, that's a good movie. And I can see the point to what they were trying to make. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, we'll traipse through this movie, but there's not really a lot of plots. It's more of a goings-on. And then eventually they get to the end of this.
Well, there's a couple things that happen in this movie. First, Ken and Ryu from the game are in this movie. They're introduced at this... underground boxing fight club sort of thing that's, I think, run by Sagat.
Yeah. Bob Saget. Hey, guys, on America's Funniest Fist Fights.
You know what? That would have been a better
please
movie.
Please say the name again, too, because there was difference
There's
in the name.
There's Ken and Ryu.
Ryu. Ryu or Ryu?
So, here's the thing. I'm an American who says Ryu, and I believe in the game, in the movie, they call him Ryu.
Okay.
Now, I think if you were to ask someone who actually knows the game, they'd say Ryu, because that's how you say it if it was actually Japanese. But they're calling him, hey, Ken. I mean, they're the Bert and Ernie. Like, are they gay? Kinda. Right? Like, and they're always, and they're wearing, like, the same outfits, just in different colors throughout the whole movie.
Well,
it's very
fair, that's, like, in the game. They're white and red outfits.
I mean, we can talk about game decisions. For example, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who is already blonde, yellows his hair. Like, it is disgusting. But it's because Guile has cartoon yellow hair in that video game.
Oh, yeah, and that stupid, who was Nixon's chief of staff that got arrested? That guy's haircut, whatever his name was.
H.R. Haldeman.
Yes, him. That's the haircut that he has in the game.
Yeah, he has the same shorts, the American flag tattoo.
Dude, the idea that he takes off his uniform, so he's down to a wife beater, and where the flag was on his uniform, underneath is a stars and stripe tattoo.
Good Lord.
Threw something at the television.
That was the favorite part of the movie, what I can remember. It's that one muscle scene where they just zoomed into his tattoo. Come on.
I am pure American. Don't you even question my legality in this country.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I know. It's becoming more Zillion. I'm sorry.
You're American steel right here. Well, I mean, the American is apple pie.
The other thing, this movie is sort of kind of trying to be a comedy, and I don't know what to feel. Especially Zangief, like that beefcake, is just like making jokes a lot, which is weird for this movie.
Lauren went over the director and writer's pedigree, and there's one thing she left out, which is that this guy wrote the Flintstones movie.
Oh, stay tuned. Stay tuned and a half. John Goodman, Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Is that the one with... is that the little
Rosie O'Donnell?
Or is he in the sequel?
Rosie O'Donnell is Betty, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis was in it?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's Barney.
Elizabeth Perkins, I think, was Fred Flintstone's wife.
Kyle MacLachlan is the evil guy.
Oh, and Halle Berry was Rosetta Stone.
Oh, God, help
Halle Berry was in the Flintstones movie?
She was.
Dude.
I didn't watch the Flintstones.
And she's flirting with John Goodman, and it's hot. Like,
and then she made Monster Ball.
That's right.
No, she.
And then she went on to better things, and then much worse things. Listen to our previous episode on Catwoman by Pitoff. Pitoff.
I am Pitoff. I am a Matterkin.
That's right. I have come here for your citizenship. That was Borat. My accents are done.
Nice.
Never.
We're 17 minutes in, and I'm out of accent.
All right. So, part of the whole thing is that Guile is trying to find a commando unit to help infiltrate Shadaloo. Okay. I'm sorry.
Skiddly bop bop.
Skip bop bop bop
bop. I forgot about that.
I'd make that bedrock.
Talking about Halle Berry.
Anyway.
You're welcome.
He and the Allied Nations army invades that fight club and like breaks it up, and Ken and Ryu get recruited.
Yeah, because otherwise they're going to go to jail.
Right.
Is the idea. And we're essentially introduced to Vega at this point as well, who comes out as this sexy Spaniard with Wolverine claws.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that silver mask.
Yeah, I mean,
which is from the game.
I will say, like, the one thing that they try to do is to get the uniforms right. And it makes it look like it's a cartoon movie, right? Like, because Raul Julia as M. Bison, none of the things he's wearing makes sense, but it looks like he's out of the movie, right? Like,
it kind of looks like a Soul Calibur fighter more than a Street Fighter fighter.
I mean, but this is Street Fighter 2 we're talking about, so they're trying to make him look like Super Nintendo or whatever. I will say the place where that's the worst is when we're introduced to Blanca, who looks like...
Oh my god, when they're performing the experiments on him and they're like doing... It's Ludovico treatment from Clockwork Orange. That's what they're doing to him.
They're bringing the DNA mutagens bag.
Oh, dude.
Yes. Mutagens bag that are green and bright pink.
They bring in the four flavors of Mountain Dew you can only get at Taco Bell.
Yes.
Like the Baja Blast. That's what they're giving to... Blanca here, the Baja Blast.
And they're putting him in, like, a sub-Dragon Con version of Hulk, right? Like, because they just painted him green. This is one of those Comic-Cons that's, like, in the middle part of, like, Kansas. Like, it doesn't look good.
No.
And then they put him in, like, a screamer wig. Like, that's rough. That's rough going for poor Charlie.
It's not sub-Dragon Con, it's sub-Branson, Missouri Comic Con. That's how this looks.
Well, if we should, Guile screws over his buddy here. Because he's on the camera, talking to M. Bison, and he goes, "Don't worry, I will free all of you. Especially you, my best friend in the whole wide world, Charlie." And we have a montage where at one point he's driving a stealth boat and he's watching romantic videos with Charlie, which is something. But at that point, Raul Julia has this one hostage and he looks at his dog tag and goes, "Carlos, you could be Charlie. Give him the experiments." And you're just like,
all right.
Okay.
That's another thing that makes no sense about this movie is that M. Bison is like taking hostages and saying, I want $20 billion before I release them. And then he starts killing them. It's like, why would you do that?
Well, they gave the Allied Nations 72 hours, and they just didn't perform. So you have to start killing hostages. Otherwise, how do you know they're serious?
Mm.
And as the pencil pusher says, next time he'll ask for $50 billion? And you're just like, my God, he's escalating.
I would like to point out that Nick just fake-pushed glasses onto his head.
My improv training is coming out here, yes. My object work.
Nice.
Do you see any comparison to their union versus, what was that movie with the Muppets? Team America, this little actor union. Do you see any comparisons in whether they met? I just want...
I would love to see a Muppet version of Team America.
That'd be awesome.
America, fuck yeah.
Gonzo the greatest Kim Jong-il.
I'm so lonely.
I can't do Gonzo.
No, that's fair. Frank Oz. That's fair. But yeah, you're not wrong. This is really cartoonish in the way that M. Bison presents himself. He's a comic book villain, and he's not a very good comic book villain.
Well, I mean, do you think they wanted to, as far as just like, you were saying that the Super Mario Brothers movie came out here previously, do you think they were trying to... just correct the wrongs of, you know, I mean, I think we talked about this earlier, like in the 90s, they were just straight, you know, pushing out video game movies, just promotion. But do you think any of them just wanted to make a good movie or just wanted to like learn from mistakes of the past?
I think they wanted to make a competent movie. And the Super Mario Brothers thing is weird because the directors on that were just crazy. But in this case, I don't know. I think it was a work-for-hire thing. It's like, okay, you want a Street Fighter movie? I can make a Street Fighter movie.
Well, and if anything, unfortunately, maybe to its detriment, this very closely is like, you know all those characters you love? Let's cram them in for 4 seconds. And so, like, the movie is a fairly tight, short, it's like 100-and-something minutes. But characters are just there, and then they're gone. They don't matter. Our 12 main characters kind of show back up. But Guile almost dies. And
he's shot. He like fakes his death in that one scene.
Yeah.
During the prison break that I think Sagat orchestrates.
Which is, he is shot by Ken and Ryu as a way to endear him to Sagat and blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's so many stupid twists and turns in this movie for no reason.
So no plot.
So this movie was produced by Capcom, which is the Japanese
the
company.
Video game, Street Fighter.
Yeah. And so I think they had their hands tied a lot with that, the writers and the directors, because there were, I think, a lot of things they wouldn't try to do, but Capcom would say no. Like, for example, Capcom, they said, only Jean-Claude Van Damme. It will be no one else. By the company, were kind of, their hands were tied a bit. So I think that's definitely part of it, is why there's some misses in here, for sure.
Who do you think they were like, we need to bring up hype for Street Fighter 3, and they thought that this movie would do it?
Yeah.
Like, honestly?
Well, there was another Street Fighter movie that came out in 2000. So not,
yeah, and there's been also two animated ones as well. Right.
I think that's what he's talking about.
There's another live-action one.
The
Rise of Chun-Li. Yeah, the Rise of Chun-Li. Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas plays Vega.
No.
Yes, he does.
People can't see my face right now, but it's a very shocked face.
Neil McDonough. He plays Bison. And Charlie Nash from American Pie plays Chris Glenn. So, yeah, there's a movie out there.
Oh. Dude, and again, and again, and again. They took a dump truck of money up to four character actors, and they're just like, fuck all.
No. Julia, I don't think, was directing this movie. He just showed up, did what he did, and demanded what he demanded, and they're like, all
right. Right.
Oh, because he showed up and know how to act. I like Jean-Claude Van Damme a lot, but he's not an actor. He's a puncher.
Yes.
Right. Like,
well,
they wanted a dramatic actor to make this movie hopefully a little more serious, not so catchy or whatever. That's why they wanted him. I'm curious, did any of you guys play Street Fighter as a kid?
In the arcades.
I had a buddy down the road. I think his name was Jay. That was the game they had because he had a Super Nintendo, and Nintendo did not have fighting games really at that time. I always liked Mortal Kombat.
I was a Mortal Kombat kid.
When Game Boy Advance was a thing, if you remember that, it was like this a little taco-shaped Game Boy. They released a version of Street Fighter 2 on that, and I had it, and I totally played it, and it was, frankly, a lot of fun, but not a big fan, no.
Yeah, I played it a little bit, but I just remember that those fighting scenes being so vivid and so characteristic of that specific game.
Right.
And That's, dude, that's what, like, especially the first fight scene, that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting for the balls of fire to come out. The, you know, whatever.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Lauren. So who would you think would have best played John Van Clad? John Van, oh my God.
John Claude Van Damme's
character. Better.
Better.
In the 90s.
In the 90s?
Ooh, good question.
Well, because the thing is, you said he's a kicker. There's not a lot of kicks in this movie.
Chun-Li is a kicker in the game, I think.
Well, right. But I'm just saying, he doing his splits is what's glorious.
Probably Hulk Hogan.
Oh, dude, that would have been great.
Really? Okay.
Oh, because he would have threatened M. Bison at the beginning much better. All right, brother.
I mean,
if you're wanting, like, American, full-on American, like the dual character is supposed to be, muscular and that could do some of the moves and stuff, that's the first one that comes to my mind.
I can see
Hulk
that.
Hogan, yeah.
It was a bit 90s action superhero by...
Well, I mean, you could have gotten Stallone at this point, but he would have required like $15 million.
And a writer's credit would have been $20 million.
Mm. And it would have just sounded as American.
But again, he's not, yeah, American.
Steven Seagal would have required a blowjob from a 13-year-old.
Oh, that's right.
I don't say Nicolas Cage.
Oh, dude, a young Nick Cage. A wiry. Wow. This
That'd
is
be
what,
amazing.
With the same Andreas face off? Yes.
They need to remake this and have Nicolas Cage be it.
He would be a good M. Bison at this point if they ever remake it.
No, for real, yeah.
You need Nick Cage to be all the parts.
Yes.
I'm a sexy lady now. Dude, look at my thighs. They're powerful.
I mean, there are ways that this movie is connected. So, like, Sagat is Bison's arms dealer, and then we get a scene with Bison trying to give 20 million Bison bucks to Sagat that aren't worth anything until he kidnaps Elizabeth II.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Correct me if I'm wrong. So he wants money, but then prints his own money?
It's not real money. It was just like Chuck E. Cheese tickets with his face on it.
It's a shot at Walt Disney at this point, maybe. I don't know.
Basically. Yeah. Oh, it's like, what was it? Itching Scratchy Bucks?
Oh, right. Yeah, no, this is all nonsense. But his face is on him. They throw it in the fire. Like, but I mean...
What scene should we even talk about? There's a scene where Chun-Li comes out as, like, an acrobatic, like, doing her, like...
Well, Bison kidnaps Chun-Li, and we get that whole monologue about 50 minutes in about how Bison killed her father, and he's like... To me, it was Tuesday.
Yeah, that was great. He goes, the worst day in your life? And she goes, well, essentially, he's like, I wanted to kill you since you destroyed my village or whatever, she says. And he goes, I don't remember that happening. And she goes, you don't remember? He goes, to me, the worst day in your life? For me, it was only a Tuesday. And you're just like,
yeah.
It was a badass line.
It was a badass line.
And it was delivered by an actor, like an actor.
Oh, Raul Julia is the only one who's having any fun with this.
Oh, and he's a goddamn treasure.
He was.
So Van Damme, this was like prime Van Damme 90s, man. He was at his height. He was doing, I mean, he's talked about this in several news outlets like The Guardian and stuff. He was like hot, like cocaine daily.
Yeah, totally.
Like 8,000 a day. He had to have a handler. They brought in a handler just for this movie, just for filming. But the handler had so much fun with him. Like, he would go out, but the handler would go party with Van Damme. So Van Damme would still be late to the shoots and, like, mess up and stuff.
That would explain why he could do the flips so easily. It's cocaine.
Oh, yeah. He was big into cocaine.
He was the Dr. Roxo of this movie.
And he has an affair with Kylie Minogue during this movie. Kylie have an affair.
Wow.
Yeah, he's publicly... talked about this.
I guess
Oh, by the way, while his third wife was pregnant with his child,
Claude.
Van Damme.
His third wife is pregnant with his child, and he's going
there's
flirting
a part of,
and having an affair with Kylie during this movie.
There's a part of me that wants to say, you had an affair with Kylie Minogue, good for you, but under the circumstances, nah.
Well, I mean, it's still Jean-Claude Van Damme being a scumbag, which is fine. I just...
Well, it's almost predictable, right? Like, you can almost see it. Like, of course that would happen.
Unlike Steven Seagal, at least she was of the age of consent.
And this was filmed in Thailand, which is, like, one of my favorite countries ever, and you can see that. It's beautiful.
Well, besides How would y'all picture just as far as like comic, not comic book, video game accuracy as far as just like the characters goes? Because the one character that I love, Balrog, who's played by like Grand L. Bush.
Yeah, Grand L. Bush.
I the one thing I'm fearful of in my life is my hairline just being all the way back.
Being that pointy?
Being that pointy.
Dude, and that man has a witch hose peak.
No one in my line of race wants a hairline like his.
Grand L. Bush, who, by the way, was brought over because he was also in Die Hard.
Who was he in Die Hard?
Lil Johnson.
Yeah. He's also in License to Kill, other previous episode, and future episode, Exorcist 3.
Oh, they had a third one?
What?
They had a third Exorcist?
Oh, I love Exorcist 3. I mean, the first one is terrifying. The third one is more of an 80s horror movie. I think it's actually 1990, but you know what I mean? It's still good. The second one's unwatchable, but the third one's a lot of fun.
I like the third one. I like the third one more than I like the first one.
That's because you're a loser.
But yeah, I mean, Balrog is here. We don't really see E. Honda or Balrog fight, although at one point he does have his boxing gloves on for no reason, and he's kind of punching. That's about when Chun-Li is about to actually get M. Bison, and they distract her so he gets away with gas in an elevator, which is a lot going on in that scene.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of Bond, I mean, this movie ends with Guile coming out to fight Bison, and yes. Then the base is set to self-destruct.
Because, of course, it is.
Because it's a Bond ripoff.
So, I guess before we end this movie, are there any other scenes we actually need to talk about? Like, this movie we thought about because it's terrible, but, like, it's almost not an episode. Like, there's nothing to even talk about.
Well, I mean, the scenes with Blanka are weird, but they're okay. I mean, after he's treated and transformed into, and he actually does have green skin in the movie. Those scenes are fine, especially at the end when Blanka's like, "I don't want to come back with you. I want to cure myself."
But I don't know what that means.
Neither do I. But that was like one of the most poignant scenes in the movie, and it was still terrible.
But I mean, we're introduced to their relationship when he's driving a speedboat, right, going down the road, and he pops in a tape of Charlie and presumably his wife, and Guile and presumably wife or girlfriend, right? And they're having the greatest old time sitting at a table, having dinner at a restaurant, and you're just like, who's filming these rants? And do you just have this in the tape deck wherever you go?
What? Speaking of the Flintstones movie, would you say they're having a gay old time?
I see what you did there.
I also think at the end it's very cliche because they think Guile is dead. They don't, that he hasn't been around, even though like he saved the day, but they still think he's dead. And then when he comes out, it's like the whole group is together and they're like, all right, everything's okay. Well,
the problem about this movie is so many of the characters are worthless.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. I mean, they should have like culled it down. Like the most recent Mortal Kombat movie, it had like 8 of the Mortal Kombat characters tops, and all of them meant something. But here it's like, oh, I mean, like, I didn't even realize that doctor was a Street Fighter character.
Yeah, it's Delsim. Dr. Delsim.
Right, exactly. I didn't even realize that. And so much of it, it's like Chun-Li as a newscaster? No. I barely even realized that Kylie Minogue was Cammy.
Yeah, no, and at one point, she strips down to the blue tank top that she's in with the long ponytail and the red cap. And you're just like, I guess, sure.
Like, let's go with it.
Exactly. Nailed it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say also, the other scene I want to talk about is, did y'all notice the cameo? I think Daniel can. The good morning, Shannon.
Yes.
So, oh, my God.
That's actually the real Adrian Cronauer from Good Morning Vietnam, the one that Robin Williams played in the real movie.
Wait, that's the actual guy?
That's literally the guy.
I mean, I knew it was a reference to that movie. I didn't know it was that guy.
Yeah, the actual guy.
Which is something. Also, I have to mention this.
I noticed that, and I was like, whoa. I just had to research it to make sure it was the same guy.
And he makes joke-em-ups, and you're just like, alrighty, okay. I will also mention something that I immediately texted Daniel about. When they're doing the pan, when Chun-Li is in M. Bison's inner chambers, they're panning around, and he's in a bunch of art, including the painting of Napoleon's horse bucking, and he's on the back.
Yes.
But he's also in a John Wayne Gacy painting of Pogo the Clown.
Yes, he is.
The one where Pogo the Clown, it's called, I think, The Return of Pogo or something stupid like that. And it recently sold at an art auction. But it's literally serial killer clownman John Wayne Gacy's portrait, and he's wearing a hat. He's wearing M. Bison's hat, and I'm like, someone thought this was clever as hell. I mean, it's 1994. This is the year that they arrested Jeffrey Dahmer, right? Like,
right.
Like, this is the end of the era of serial killers, and just like, you know what this movie needs?
A John Wayne Gacy painting. Good lord.
Yes.
Okay, so I think we've covered this movie pretty good considering how terrible it is. But I have a question for all of you. We've done several video game movies, and we should talk about where this falls among them. Is this better than the first Tomb Raider movie with Angelina Jolie?
Ooh, no.
This is so Angelina Jolie is better than this?
Yes.
Okay. How about we have done, as you mentioned before, Super Mario Brothers. If you want to watch Super Mario Brothers, you have to be on the Patreon because that's in our first 20 episodes somewhere in there. Like, it's super old.
You get to watch the World Trade Centers disintegrate on camera.
Yeah, which is not at all upsetting. Is it better than Super Mario Brothers?
It's different.
You know, Super Mario Brothers at least tried to do something unique.
Yeah.
It didn't work, but it was at least trying to do something, and this does nothing.
I would say this is that Super Mario Brothers is better than this.
I will put it in the context of I would be more likely to put Super Mario Brothers back on than this.
Right.
Like,
Luigi, we are the aliens.
And if we were having like a party where people were drinking and hanging out, I'd rather put that on than this one. Okay.
Right. I'm with you on that.
So most recently, of course, Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I haven't seen it, so I can't say.
Not a movie. Nor. Come on, buddy. Tell me.
From what I remember from the two movies, I didn't sleep through Street Fighter. So I would say Street Fighter is better than Annihilation.
Fair. Fair.
Yeah, I think I would second that.
I'd agree with you too.
The most recent Mortal Kombat movie, though, is way better than this.
Oh yeah, for sure, hands down.
Well, how about this then? The last one is a movie we did a million years ago, but the original Mortal Kombat.
Ooh.
I'd much rather watch the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
yes, you can.
It is so silly and stupid, but it takes itself seriously in a stupid way. That's a much more fun movie.
And there's more. I think that's, personally, the first Mortal Kombat movie holds the test of time as far as just how much of an impact it had on the culture. This one, we barely hear about it.
Well, and, I mean, Mortal Kombat came out literally the next year, 95, and that movie is royally stupid, and it has...
I do have to fault you, Nick. You're mispronouncing it. It's not Mortal Kombat, it's Mortal Kombat!
Dun, 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 dun. And if you're not subscribed to CinePro's Patreon, we just riffed it. But I'm like, you gotta love a movie that screams its own name before there's any text on the screen.
Hey, what movie are we watching?
Citizen Kane! But no, Street Fighter is just a wet fart of a movie. We can give our final judgments. Sunzi?
I think you went ahead and gave it. This is a wet fart of a movie. It's just... My God, it's a commercial. It's not a movie.
Fair enough. Nor?
I can't really say much to this movie from barely remembering it, but it's you can watch it when you're trying to fall asleep.
It is fair. Lauren?
No, they were trying to rush this movie out for Christmas that year. They rushed the production, and I think it's obvious. You know, I was wanting... I played Street Fighter. I was more Mario Brothers, but... I played that a little bit in the arcade and a little bit growing up. I was wanting the big, cool fight scenes that Street Fighter was known for, like the beautiful graphics, the cool characters, and you just don't get that in this movie. So as long as you go into that knowing, you know, if you're any sort of fan of the video game, knowing that this movie, it basically has nothing to do with that, as long as you go into that going, you know, it's a quick 100-minute film, but would I highly recommend it? No.
Yeah, I mean, it gets 2 stars for Raul Julia. He eats so much scenery in this. No, I mean, he eats so much scenery in this, which tragically he couldn't digest because of the stomach cancer.
Aw, dude.
Oh, dude. Boo. I live off your. your anger. No, I would say this movie is just, it's a shame. It really is. Rewatch Mortal Kombat. Hell, watch the Sonic movie from last year. It's better than this. As far as video game movies go. But no, this is nonsense. Like, stay tuned, because I'll pitch this for Cineprop or someone to riff. Because, like, that's what this movie is. There's not even that much dialogue. It's a lot of nothing that happens. Hey, dude, you're in a uniform now. I know, I look like I belong in Shadowloo. Like, that's what Ken and Ryu sound like, and then they make out at the end passionately.
Delete a scene?
If only.
In my mind. I was bored. I was making up scenes in my head. I mean, and then at one point, Chun-Li shows up wearing her red dress with, like, her legs out. Like,
the thigh-high dress.
Mm. I mean, emphasis on the thighs. Like, that was her character, right? But no, don't watch this. It's a waste of time. But regardless, we're out of time. Our pizza's here. So stay tuned next week and every future week when we review the movies from your childhood. Thanks, guys.
Myopia Movies is a production of Dude Letter Podcasting. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. The theme song is Sherf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find his music on comtech.com. It is registered under the Creative 4 license. Our regular panelists are Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, Nick Hoffman, and Jeremy Reibel. Thanks for listening. Please support our Patreon at patreon.com/myopia. Thanks, guys.